Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
And we'll get back into the book of Zechariah, I promise. But tonight, I got a word for you. 2 Kings 5. It's a little bit of a reading. I'm going to move quickly. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. That's because of his status. He's the commander. Because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. That's him personally, not just his status, that's his character. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. So his resume is stellar, his job history is stellar, but he's got this flag right here. He was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Naaman went and told his master, probably King Abinadab II, we're not sure exactly. Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, "Go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. This is probably, scholars say, close to $6 million worth of stuff. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me and said, you know, heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, for he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Everybody say rage. Rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? I mean, for crying out loud, you brought $6 million with you. How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I like to entitle tonight's message, "Turning Trouble into a Springboard." Turning trouble into a springboard. I want to say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What is a springboard? Well, I'm glad you asked. I've got a picture. If you've ever watched gymnastics, you're surely seeing what they call the vault or different routines. And a springboard is simple enough. It's a board with springs under it, right? Deep thought. A springboard. And it helps catapult gymnasts into the air higher than they could go in their own strength. A diving board is even considered to be a springboard. And some of them have springs. Others are just flexible. But that diving board will catapult divers to a point up where they can maximize their dive. It's higher than they could have gone in their own strength. It's more than just a jump. It's this bounce. Merriam-Webster defines it as a flexible board secured at one end and used for gymnastics or diving. Second definition, something that helps launch an activity or enterprise. Launch has to do with launching. My assignment tonight is to remind you that God can turn your trouble into a springboard. He can take your trouble and use it to catapult you higher and further than you could ever go in just your own strength by your own efforts. So let me ask you, because I feel like maybe you don't believe me. So let's bring it real close to home. What trouble are you facing right now? I want you to think about it. What trouble are you facing right now? I mean, think of it. That thing that's troubling you, bring it front of mind right now. Now, what if I told you that God could transform that trouble into a springboard that would take you places that you wouldn't have gone to otherwise in your own strength had you not had the trouble in your life? My Bible still says, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Genesis 50:20, Joseph said this, what the idea is this, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. He repurposed it. And I believe God's going to turn your trouble into a springboard that takes you places you never would have gone otherwise with just your own strength and just your own efforts. Now, we don't even know this girl's name. She's a victim of war crimes, kidnapped, separated from her family, a stranger in a strange land filled with strange people, strange customs. And she had been turned from a little girl who was free into a little girl who was a slave, a slave. Some rabbinic sources say it was her master, Naaman, that shot the arrow that killed her king, Ahab. So took down her political leader. It was definitely Naaman who was responsible for her being kidnapped the way she was, ripped from her family. It's possible that he was responsible even, we don't know for sure, but she's been taken from her family. You would think the family would fight for her. So it's possible that Naaman was responsible for the death of her family. Talk about trouble. It was a catastrophe. Her childhood was ripped from her. Her innocence was destroyed. Her future was robbed. She was just a kid in Israel doing what kids do, having a family, a loving family, a devoted father, a doting mother, siblings, grandparents, cousins, friends, family reunions, going to church, the whole nine yards. She had dreams of growing up, maybe getting married, having a family of her own, but all of a sudden it's all gone. She was playing in Israel one day. The next thing we know, she's a slave in Syria. And in the natural, it looked like her very own God had forsaken her and let her down. But she refused to let the dire straits she was in, her circumstances, dictate her view of her God. This little girl, you want to talk about the power of Sunday school? Train up a child, not an adult. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. She was a child, and she had been taught about her God, and she refused to let her circumstances jade her in her understanding of God. She never quit seeing her God as, are you ready for this? Good, merciful, a healer, a deliverer, awesome, able, willing, mighty, powerful. The Bible says that what's in your heart in abundance is going to come out under pressure when you're squeezed, when the heat is on. Jesus said it, Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we see what was in her heart in spite of her circumstances, because when her master got sick, suffering from the incurable disease of leprosy, and no cure, no hope in all of Syria, he's rotting from the inside out. The little girl hears about that trouble, and what was in her heart in abundance just came busting out, pouring out. She started talking about the goodness of her God. She started talking about the power of her God. She started talking about the prophetic word of her God. She didn't let her messed up situation mess her up. She didn't let the trouble on the outside become trouble on the inside. She didn't say, well, you can forget about my God, mistress. You can forget about my God, Naaman. I mean, he let me down, obviously. And if he let me down, there's no hope in the world for you. As a matter of fact, in spite of her circumstances, she started bragging on her God. If anybody had a right to sulk, if anybody had a right to complain and pout and not be in a good mood but in a bad mood, it was this girl. But she didn't let her bad circumstances define her belief system, throw shade on her good God. Like the psalmist said, I'm going to make my boast in the Lord. She used her troubles as a springboard to catapult her higher and further to make her a very powerful witness, more powerful than she could have ever been outside of the trouble, for his goodness and mercy. Now, she could not brag about the Lord bringing her out of her current circumstances. They were still bad. She couldn't brag on the Lord, you know, because she was a slave. Like, you know, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Doesn't say you thank God for everything. She didn't say, thank God I'm a slave. Thank God you let me be kidnapped, Lord. She didn't say that. But in spite of what she was going through, she realized he's still on the throne. I don't have all the answers. I can't explain it. I don't know it all. But I know one thing. He's still on the throne. And if this is the way my life ends, I will go down saying, blessed is the name of the Lord. Naked came I into this world. Naked shall I leave. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Brothers and sisters, that's faith. She knew in spite of her being a slave in Syria, Jehovah was still the Lord of all. And so when Naaman got sick, she told Mrs. Naaman, let me tell you about my God. That's powerful. That's powerful. Folks, when the conditions are not ideal, and it seems like you can't go on, I want to encourage you, God can turn your trouble into a springboard. That's my assignment. I want to admonish you, sing a little louder when you're in trouble. Come on now. Sing a little stronger when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble, why don't you start witnessing about his healing power and his delivering power? Even when you're sick and you don't seem to be able to get well, witness about his provision. Even when you're broke and there's checks bouncing and stuff, I'm telling you, tell somebody, here's something you can truth. Tell somebody who doesn't even deserve any of the goodness of God about how good he is. And if they'll just turn to the Lord, who knows? Give God some praise right now. This little girl has inspired me this week just because she is witnessing to a man who has caused her much harm. She's witnessing to a man who has caused her much pain and the separation that she's experienced, and it's his fault. You could send me back. Maybe he wiped out her family, but you could send me back with my people. But no, you've kept me here. You've cloistered me here. You've got me in a place I don't belong. And she could have looked at this as the vengeance of God. Thank you, Lord, for smiting him. And I'm not going to say a word. But instead, she got the attention of herself on the Lord. And then even on others, somebody that you could say hurt her, somebody that betrayed her. One of the greatest ways that we can bless the Lord is to get our eyes off ourselves, get our eyes off of our troubles, and get our eyes on God. Become more aware of those around us who may be suffering, even though they, you know, you could say they deserve it. But listen, none of us deserve the goodness of God. Who do we think we are? So I was good. They did bad to me. but I've done bad to people. I ain't always been good. I don't deserve nothing. And so here she is. She could gripe and complain, and she could be mean to this fella, but she got her eyes off herself, and she tried to connect others to her great God. When you do that, God's got a way of bringing it back home to you. Given, it shall be given unto you. The same mercy that you show is the same mercy that will be shown to you. Seems like that's a principle in the Bible. I love that. Even though her God was a deliverer, she was a slave. But rather than letting that shut her down, and that's the temptation, is it? Is it not? My God's a healer. Well, you've been sick for a long time. It ain't about me. See, I think we get in trouble sometimes. Pardon me. But I think we get in trouble sometimes when we say, God's a healer because he heals so-and-so. Because God's a healer, but my pastor died at like 39 or something like that. Dan Calk, he died. Oh, he was awesome. God's a healer, but God's a healer because Brenda Anderson was healed of lupus. So is God not a healer because Dan Calk died of cancer? So I think we get in trouble when we attach names to it. What we ought to do is attach scriptures to what we say we believe about the Lord. Because, see, I believe God's a healer even though Dan died. And I believe in healing. Brenda got healed. Thank Brenda Anderson. Brenda Hinge has been healed too, but Brenda Anderson got healed of lupus. Thank God. But I don't believe in healing because Brenda got healed. And I don't not believe in healing because Dan died. I believe in healing because the Word says that he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals me. So she's a slave. God's a deliverer. You say, well, where's your God? Doesn't matter about me. I'm just telling you. I don't have the answers. I got my struggles. I don't know where I'm missing it. I don't know why I'm in this situation. But I will tell you one thing. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. Who knows what's going to happen? I keep coming back to that scripture. You know, that's Jonathan and his armor bearer. There's overwhelming odds, and they're like, I don't know if we're supposed to do this or not, but let's give it a shot. Who knows if the Lord's going to help us out or not? I mean, who knows? Sometimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You just got to take a risk. You got to take a chance. If it's not happening for you, maybe it's going to happen for somebody else. Be a witness for the goodness of God, even when it looks like the trouble you're in, it just ain't going to go away. Come on now. So her attitude was, he might have me on hold right now, but I'm going to try my best to get Naaman to my God, because it might just be he gets his miracle. While you're waiting on your miracle, why don't you focus on helping somebody get theirs? While you're waiting on your dream to come to pass, won't you help somebody else get their dream to come to pass? I mean, Joseph had this powerful dream, but he had to help several others get their dreams accomplished before his dream ever came to pass. Got his attention off himself. When you're struggling with that sickness, when you're struggling with that addiction, when you're struggling to pay those bills, when you're struggling with that divorce, brag on your God. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He can help you in your finances. He can help you in your marriage. Well, what about you? It's not about me. Let me get you to look at my God. I love this story. I love this story. It makes me think of a guy. I've told this story before at his church, but it's always a profound story to me. It's the story of Terry Shock's father, Jack Shock, in Fort Smith, Arkansas. This is over 40 years ago when this happened. Jack was this amazing man of God, and he taught home Bible studies. He's a man after my own heart, man. He's a chart man. He had those charts and taught those home Bibles. Anybody ever sat in a home Bible study with old D.H. right here? I taught a lot of Bibles. I love Bible studies. And so Jack was teaching Bible studies, and Jack had got cancer in his kidney. He had a kidney problem. I think it was kidney disease or cancer. I can't remember. And he needed a transplant. And he was going down. His health was in bad shape. And Jack was young. He was a young man. And Jack got he was having to go to dialysis. And he had to go just about every day. He's at dialysis. And he was there with five other men. And he said, this is in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He said, gentlemen, while we're sitting here on these machines, he's like, would y'all mind if I pulled my chart out and taught y'all a Bible study? Talking about taking your trouble, turn it into a springboard. And they said, yeah, that's fine with us. Jack pulls his chart out and starts teaching a Bible study on a dialysis machine. And all five of these men were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's an amazing testimony. A few months later, a kidney came available for Jack. Jack got that kidney. It was great. It was an awesome testimony. Then his body started rejecting it. And in just a matter of days, Jack was dead. Some of his family was in Louisiana driving up to Fort Smith. And on the interstate, a state trooper pulled this fellow over from Louisiana. Said, sir, you were speeding. You were doing way over the speed limit. I'm going to have to give you a ticket. He said, I'm so sorry, officer. He said, I was driving to Fort Smith. He said, a man named Jack Shock died, and I'm headed to his funeral. And the state trooper starts crying. He said, Jack shot the man on a kidney dialysis machine? He said, yeah, that's him. He said, my dad was on the kidney dialysis machine with Jack. He said, we had to unload all the guns in the house because he was suicidal, dealing with what he was dealing with. But because of Jack Shock, my dad is a new man today, completely changed because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you'll let him, God will turn your trouble into a springboard and give you an opportunity that you wouldn't have otherwise. Give God some praise for that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's an amazing story. Every time I'm around Terry, I say, tell me about Jack, Terry. Just an amazing story. Bethesda, this church, was not built on people who had it all together, had all their prayers answered, and were all millionaires, and all had phenomenal marriages, and had amazing jobs. And no, it wasn't built on people like that. It was people that had trouble. I mean, if you're wanting a springboard, let me just tell you, live a little while, and you're going to have some trouble that can be turned into a springboard. Job said, man is born of a woman, and he's full of days. He's got trouble all the time. Trouble everywhere. Springboards all over the place, man. Opportunities. Bethesda was built on people, with people, who in spite of their trouble, bragged on God. There's people in this house today who were brought to Jesus by other people in this house today who were struggling. The people that brought them in were struggling with addiction, financial setbacks, divorce, marriage problems, all kind of problems with their children, and yet they chose to brag on their God in the midst of their trouble and got other people to Jesus. That's how this church grew then, that's how it's growing now, and that's how it'll grow in the future. We're never going to be perfect on this side of heaven, but thank God Jesus has always been perfect. You can always point to Jesus. Come on now. You can always brag on Jesus no matter what you're going through. I will bless the Lord at all times. The Bible says when you do that, the humble are going to hear it and be glad. And then the psalmist says, come on, magnify the Lord with me. I know you're a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. I got trouble all around, but I'm going to use it and I'm going to jump a little higher. I'm going to sing a little louder. I'm going to sing a little stronger because I know that my God is good and he's merciful and he's a healer and a deliverer. I love that. He's great. He can do anything. And Naaman, hotshot general, extraordinary guy, military strategist, tactician, skilled warrior. He had a uniform with a lot of medals. He is the only specific Gentile in the Bible to be referred to as a mighty man of valor. He had been handsomely rewarded for his efforts. He was rich, powerful, had a beautiful wife and family, owned a sprawling country estate, but he was a leper. And this was incurable. This stripped the victim of everything. It was Naaman's Achilles heel. It was his one vulnerability. And here's what I've observed is that very often when we've got everything going our way, God's on the back burner. We are not springboarding into our destiny and the highest calling that God has for our lives. Everything's rolling our way. It's going good. But when trouble comes, when that Achilles heel, when that thing you can't fix, and dealing with people as a pastor, some people, it's always a money trouble. Some people, they got plenty of money. And you would think, man, if I just had money, I wouldn't have any more trouble. Well, you go talk to the money people, they got all kind of other troubles. They're like, I don't know if this money is worth it, you know, like, and most of them don't say that, but I'm just saying. Yeah, like they got, you know, whatever. It's like whack-a-mole, you know. You got trouble here, you get that taken care of, you got trouble here. Like, whatever the trouble is, you're rolling along, but when trouble shows up, you might not ever go to church. You might think church is stupid, it's for the simple, it's a crutch, it's all this kind of stuff. But when that vulnerability exposes itself and there's nothing you can do, you can't buy your way out, you can't politic your way out, you can't make it happen with your intellect and your skills and your ability to shake hands and pat backs, you can't make it happen. I found a lot of people, that becomes a springboard. All of a sudden they walk in the door and they say, Pastor, I got some trouble. You know the dumbest thing in the world we could say as a church? Well, where were you when things were rosy? Didn't care about God yesterday. Now all of a sudden you care. That would be so foolish of us to say. When they walk in those doors, we need to start bragging on our God and saying, you know what? Our God can help you. Hey, that little girl, he had taken everything from her. She's like, I wish you knew Elisha the prophet, because God would probably heal you. I'm telling you, we need to brag on God. God can fix your situation. Who cares about the past? He doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care about my past. He cares about his goodness and his mercy and his little lost sheep, and you're one of them and I'm one of them, and he's coming after you. You can let that trouble become a springboard. Naaman let his trouble. He had all these other gods. But this little girl piqued his interest. What? I ain't never had a priest tell me that could happen. You're telling me? Yeah. Can you imagine that little girl? She's like, let me tell you a story. You see, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock that box and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on. She could say, let me tell you about when my people were in Egyptian bondage and the Lord called us out and he said this from his holy mountain. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals you of all your diseases. And I'll put none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians on you. Who knows, Naaman, if you would just turn to my God, he's a God who has power over all disease and all sickness. Maybe he would heal you. What? She's telling Bible stories that she heard as a little girl. It's not like she's calling her mama up, mama, what's that story again? Calling her teacher, mama, what's that story again? She doesn't have access to the flannel graph. You know, she doesn't have access to the VeggieTale videos. She's out there on her own, and it's coming to her mind. And she's saying, I remember the preacher's name was Elisha. If you could just get past her, he could, I'm telling you, the healing power of God could flow. And he used that as a springboard and got a letter of recommendation, $6 million, and he took off. And old Elisha, I love Elisha, because Elisha didn't say, $6 million, right? He's like, well, Naaman, it's so, well, welcome. Get everything ready, you know, get everything ready. Would you like a spot of tea? You know, like, we're so glad to have you here. Oh, make yourself, take your sandals off, kick your feet up. Let's talk a spell. Let's chew the fat a little bit, you know, and trying to get that $6 million. Elisha is like, I don't want your money. This is not about your money. God help us in this day and age to not be about money. Religious folks, we just got this, preachers, and we've got this bad reputation. It is not about the money. It's about people. I'll tell you, ministry is expensive. Don't get me wrong. David, Solomon, they raised a lot of money. They did a lot of fundraisers. They did sacrificial offerings. They did all kind of giving and stuff. But it wasn't to enrich Elisha. He's like, that is, I'm not after your money, son. That little girl has witnessed to you. He understood what had happened. That little girl has witnessed to you. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Humble yourself, fella. Go get in that Jordan River. That Jordan River's nasty. Reminds me of the Red River. Nobody went swimming in Shreveport in the Red River. Before the Army Corps of Engineers got a hold of it especially, nobody. If you, here's what happened. So-and-so drowned in the Red River. Why? They fall in? Well, they was drunk, went swimming, and we found them in Alexandria. You know, like, you did not go swimming in the Red River. It was nasty. When I think nasty, I always think of the Chafuncta River. Not because it's as nasty, but it's the name, right? It's the Chafuncta River. It's got the funk, you know what I mean? It's the Chafuncta River. The Jordan River is a nasty river. When we were there, there were flies everywhere. It was infested with flies all over the place. People were getting baptized in it, you know, because it's the Jordan River. And it was just gross. It stunk. Guys with machine guns standing around, you know, and there's flies everywhere, and it was nuts. And so it was nasty back then. And Elisha says to Naaman through his servant, he says, go tell him, don't want your money. Dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And this old boy gets so offended. He's like, I thought he'd come out to me at least and wave his hand over the spot, you know, like some kind of magician and, you know, wax on, wax off. It's going to take care of him. He's like, no. He storms off in a rage. Just, I'm done. I'm out of here. Come on, boys. And his fellas talk some sense. We've come this far. If he'd have asked you to build a big monument, you'd have done it, you know. But instead, he just said, go dip. 7 times. I mean, what's it going to hurt, Naaman? You got all these Versace clothes over here that you brought for him. Like, you just change clothes. So Naaman, here's the deal. He used his trouble as a springboard. The way it looked for that girl was, when it looked like her God had let her down and she has an opportunity to show mercy to someone who's been mean to her, the way the trouble into a springboard looked was she showed mercy. Told him, witness to him. For Naaman, the way the trouble became a springboard was he turned to the Lord, started seeking things that he would not have otherwise sought, and then he had to do something he wouldn't have otherwise done. It was humiliating, especially for a man of his status. So the old boy goes, stand with me right now, I'm done. He goes to the Jordan, and he dips 7 times. And boy, I could zero in on that. Not once, not twice, not 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. He goes all the way. He does it to the nth degree. And when he came up the seventh time, the Bible said that his skin was transformed. And he had skin like a baby skin. It was smooth. There was no leprosy. The man was totally and completely healed. It's a powerful, powerful testimony. Here's the deal. It was something he had to do. There was a physicality to it. It was not something he would have normally done. But the trouble that he went to because of his trouble, again, was a springboard that brought him to a place of health and healing. And that old boy, Naaman, what he did was he ended up getting a shovel and a wheelbarrow, and he dug up a bunch of dirt right there. And he said, the God of this house, I'm going to bring him back to my house. He's going to become the God of my house. I'm going to take this dirt because he seems to like this land. And I'm going to bring some of this land over here. And your God's going to become my God. That's the approach that he took. Springboarded into another realm. He would have never gone there. So let me ask you, what trouble are you facing? Could it be that God's going to get you to think a different way? When we were looking to buy this building, some of y'all don't know the story, but it goes way back to the early days. Little girl was a key to this door. Her dad used to pastor in this building, and we had this opportunity unlocked for us because of what God had done in her life through a brand spanking new church called Life Point at the time. And God gave us this opportunity to buy this piece of property. And a man came up to me that doesn't go to this church. He's a friend of mine. He saw this building. He and I looked at it together. And he said, Donovan, this is awesome. And we didn't know how much it was going to be. It was looking like it was going to be $500,000. He said, I'm going to give you $500,000. I was like, nobody's ever said that to me before. He said, you go in and you negotiate with them, knowing I got you covered. So when I tell you that I went in negotiating like a boss, you can't even imagine the confidence that I displayed. I walked in that room. I'm like, we don't need you to tote the note. We don't need owner financing. We don't even need a bank. We're going to pay cash. Cold cash. I mean, if I could have pulled out, opened a briefcase, that kind of, that'd have been awesome. Or just, get those $1,000 rolls, I was a boss. Nick, I was a boss, man. And those people, and it worked. Those guys were like, it was a process, but eventually it was like, sign the dotted line, man. You got it. We were the dog that caught the car, but I had the cash, no problem. And we were buying it for $440,000. My friend went overseas, lost his cell service, was in Southeast Asia. Things got upside down. He got in a trade that was bad. He had problems. His liquidity disappeared overnight. He gets back in the country and he says, hey man, I can't do that. And I was like, what? He's like, it ain't gonna happen. I can't get it. Then he's like, he just said, I don't know when I'm gonna be able to, like, you're on your own. And I was devastated. But you just know, I went in negotiating with one frame of mind, and now, yikes. And so I had talked so big, and I went to the Lord. I said, God, you got to help me. And we had $38 in our building fund, and I went to our banker, and I said, hey, I'm looking to do some stuff. She's like, that's great. I'll give you a phone number. I called them. I got nowhere. And I was calling banks all over the place. But here's my point. That was trouble. But instead of saying, well, it's over, it's done, I'm like, God, there's a door here somewhere. Another door. Somebody needs to understand, the door seemed to be shut. Don't give up. There's another door. There's another door. I had a pastor friend that gave me a card. And he said, call this man. He's a banker. He knew about my trouble. I said, who is he? He's like, I have no idea. I called the man. I said, my buddy told me to give you a call. I don't know you, but I got a problem. I got trouble. And as I told him who I was, he said, I know who you are. I said, you know me? He said, yeah, I know you. He said, we've met. I said, forgive me, I don't remember you. He said, we met at a church function. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I'm Pentecostal. We met at the Pentecostals of Alexandria. I said, oh my goodness, wow. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, but I've been in the building that you're looking to buy. I know right where it is. I've been in it. He said, the guy that, the denomination that owns it, the superintendent of that denomination, I used to date his daughter. Assembly of God, I used to date his daughter. I know the whole family. He said, I'm just going to tell you right now. He said, I hold the mortgage on the building currently. And he said, you don't need to worry about a thing. I feel the Holy Ghost. Everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to work out. And I've told you this before. I told him, I've never had a banker, number one, tell me. So in this story, you've heard two things. A man told me, I'm going to give you $500,000. I had never heard that before. But he didn't come through. This guy said, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of God. And everything's going to work out. I said, I have never heard a banker say they felt the Holy Ghost. Talking to me especially. Never heard a banker say that. He said, well, you did now. And it opened the door that was became a relationship that was very beneficial to this church through the years. Trouble springboarded us to look other places, to pray for other doors to open. Some of you, you're facing trouble and you think, well, the door's shut. There's another door. God's going to open another door for you. It's a springboard. You've got it fixed in your mind. This is how it ought to work. This is how it's going to work. But here's what the Lord's saying. I got another way. I'm going to expand your horizon. I'm going to expand your network. I'm going to introduce you to people who are going to introduce you to people. Your influence is going to grow. The connections are going to grow. You were just going to stop here, but I'm going to springboard you higher. The trouble is going to be turned into a springboard. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now and ask God to turn your trouble into a springboard? Can you do it? God has a way of turning around. God has a way of working it together for your good. Those closed doors sometimes are the biggest blessing. Those no's, those rejections sometimes are the biggest blessing, because you'd have settled for so much less when God has so much more. Come on now. Your trouble is a springboard. God's going to take you places you wouldn't go otherwise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, just say, I receive that in my spirit. I receive that in my spirit, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.